Good evening, everyone. If you want to take our Bible, turn over to the book of Judges in chapter 6. That will be where our study will begin this evening, in Judges chapter 6, as we consider Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, and the story of Gideon. Before we begin, here's a question. What do you think of when you hear the phrase, against all odds? You may think of an underdog team going up against a more experienced and far superior team. And yet somehow, after all is said and done, the underdog wins. The odds are stacked against them. And in theory, they shouldn't win because of their inexperience or because of one factor or another. Maybe they're smaller than their opponent. In theory, they shouldn't have won. So when against all odds, they come out on top, they become celebrated as underdogs. And we love an underdog story. If you watch movies, we love underdog stories in movies. Rocky, that's one of my favorites these days. Because we see someone down in the slumps and rise up to the top and giving it his all. We love stories of those who succeed against all odds. Now, when we think of the phrase against all odds, one thing that has to come to mind is God. God is the one who makes the impossible happen. Against all odds, life came to be. When it was impossible for life to exist, God stepped in and brought life into being. Against all odds, salvation came to be. When everyone in mankind turned to sin, God created a way for all mankind to find salvation in Jesus Christ. And we see many of the times in Scripture how God stepped in and either through providence, direct action, giving mere men the power, the strength, and the confidence to do his will, many things were accomplished. One such instance of God stepping in and bringing success to some against all odds is during the time of the judges, particularly when Gideon was judge. Gideon is introduced as an unsuspecting young person, yet God brought him up to be able to deliver Israel from the enemy at this time. During the time of the judges, Israel kept getting into trouble. They were stuck in a vicious cycle of turning against God, being oppressed by another nation, and then God having to bail them out with one of the judges. And here we're in the midst of that in the book of Judges, chapter 6 through 8. And so in these chapters, we see Gideon's story, where he succeeded against all odds because of God. And he succeeded against all odds because he was present with him. He gave him the strength and the confidence. And Gideon himself, he's almost like Moses and Joshua rolled into one. And this story reflects that. So let's introduce ourselves to Gideon here. Check out verses 11 through 16 of Judges chapter 6. This is our proper introduction to Gideon here in these first few verses. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites." Quick side note, the Midianites were the main antagonists of this point. They were the ones oppressing Israel at this point. Verse 12, picking up where we left off, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" Interesting introduction there. Verse 13, "Gideon said to him, 'Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?' So he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man.'" So here, Gideon was expecting a normal day out in the field, or at least as normal of a day as it can get whilst in the midst of this Midianite invasion. Because as we see, he's going about his business, threshing the wheat in the wine press, hiding it from the Midians, trying to make sure that they had food during this time of uncertainty and war. So imagine Gideon's surprise when, from his point of view, some guy comes along calling him a man of valor. Now, valor can be defined as great courage in the face of danger, and especially within battle. But as we know, reading this was an angel from God. But Gideon, not knowing this quite yet, questions the man, thinking that the Lord has forsaken them because of all the trouble that the Midianites are stirring up. But then God himself speaks to Gideon, sending Gideon forth to be the hero and the judge that Israel needed at the time, a warrior who would deliver Israel from the Midianites. God would turn him into a man of valor. God would give him the strength to do this deed that he had called him for. But Gideon, similar to Moses, did not know his own strength. As soon as he heard this from the Lord, he doubted himself, saying that he is the least in his father's house, of the weakest clan in Manasseh. He had no idea why he was the one being picked to save Israel from the Midianites. And one of the most amazing things that God has ever said to one man is here in this passage. Surely, I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. This shows us full well the power of God and what his presence in our lives should mean to us. Because he was with Gideon. He told them that he alone could save Israel. Of course, we'll come to see that he was not alone. But first, Gideon proved himself by fulfilling the first assignment given to him by God, tearing down the altar of Baal in the city in Judges chapter 6, verses 25 through 27. Drop down there and let's read verses 25 through 27. It says, "Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down.' So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night." So we see the first thing that Gideon is commanded to do: purge the idolatry from your household. Purge this idolatry from the city. Destroy the altar of Baal and the wooden image beside it. Create a new altar for me. Use that wood they used to make an idol. Make that the firewood for the altar. That adds insult to injury right there, brethren. But there are some possible reasons why God gave this task to begin with. First of all, to sever himself and his household from Baal worship, to wash his hands clean of anything having to do with this idolatry, and committing himself fully to the true God that has called him to a great purpose. Secondly, this was a difficult task to do due to the fact that those in the city also worship Baal. Furthermore, we see that when the men arose from the city the next morning, they were ready to kill Gideon because of what he had done. So God is creating within Gideon this spirit of confidence to go against the crowd, to go against something that is greater than himself, knowing that God is with him and will bring him out on top. Because this is what he's about to do when he goes up against the Midianites. The Midianites have proved themselves to be a great threat so far, and so God is instilling within Gideon the confidence to be able to face this great threat. So we see in the next chapter, Gideon's army of the 300 men in Judges chapter 7. Reading verses 2 through 7, we see that Gideon starts off with a great army, but is reduced to 300 men. The verses read, "And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, "My own hand saved me." Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, "Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead." And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' the same shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink." And the number of those who had lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." God knew Israel would want to take the glory for themselves if they were to come out on top of the Midianites. They wanted to take the glory for themselves due to the size of their army, due to their strength against the Midianites. So God tells Gideon twice to reduce the size of his army, leaving him with only 300 men to go and fight the Midianites. Initially, starting off with around 32,000 men, which was a sizable army. Still not as large as the Midianites, as we will come to see in a few minutes, but large enough to have a fighting chance. Yet Gideon was left with only 300 men to go and fight this battle with him. If you were to look at the scale of his army versus the scale of the Midianite army, which we will see in just a minute, it's laughable. An army of that size could not possibly overtake an army like the Midianites. But remember, God was with Gideon. God told Gideon earlier that with him on his side, he would be able to overthrow the Midianites as one man. That is the power of God working in our lives, that even when all the odds are stacked against us, the mere presence of God can change everything. But just in case, God did provide a sign for Gideon, looking at verses 12 through 15. As they were spying out on the army of the Midianites and their joint allegiance with the Amalekites, Gideon is given a sign. Judges chapter 7, verses 12 through 15. "Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley, as numerous as locusts, and their camels without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude." That 300 is looking really small right now, isn't it? Continuing on, "And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. And he said, 'I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.' And so it was, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand." Just in case Gideon had any reason to doubt, in case Gideon had any reason to lose confidence, in case any reason Gideon had any reason to want to throw in the towel and go home, God provided him with a sign that assured him he would be victorious on this day. Because as we see in the verse we just read, that the army of the Midianites, along with the Amalekites, was so massive that they could not number them at this moment. They were innumerable to them. There were so many men there. Their camels, even, were described as the sand of the seashore. So numerous and mighty was this army that they were supposed to fight as 300 men. Now, even Gideon's original army, the 32,000, looked small by comparison. Even so, Gideon overheard these men talking. Hearing the dream and its interpretation, was encouraged by God through this interpretation, and so he was able to rise up with the confidence and lead Israel against Midian, knowing full well God was with them, that God had given them the victory. And so we see the first victory against Midian in verses 20 through 25 of this same chapter. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia, towards Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. Then Gideon sent messengers throughout all the mountains of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize from them the watering places as far as Beth Bar and the Jordan." Then the men of Ephraim gathered together and seized the watering places as far as Bethbara and the Jordan. And they captured two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the Orak of Oreb, and Zeb they killed at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of the Jordan. In the dark of the night, God gave Israel their first victory against Midian here. Just because God and Gideon knew the size of their army did not mean that the Midianites knew the size of their army. So when the trumpet sounded and the shout was made, that sent the Midianites into a panic. They began fighting against each other within the confusion and began running away. God being with Gideon and his small army was enough to give them the advantage over the Midianites. These Midianites, who Israel feared and were oppressed by, had to turn and run because of the might of Gideon and God being with him. This alone shows us the power and advantage that one can have with God being present in their life and with them being close to God. Gideon and the 300, without God, they had no fighting chance. Not against these Midianites, but here we see God's glory in giving the victory to them against all odds. And yet the odds still continued to stack against them as they grew tired and hungry in their pursuit. Consider verses 4 through 9 of the next chapter in Judges chapter 8. It says, "When Gideon came to the Jordan, he and the 300 men who were with him crossed over, exhausted, but still in pursuit. Then he said to the men of Succoth, 'Please give loaves of bread to the people who follow me, for they are exhausted, and I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, kings of Midian.' and the leaders of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand that we should give bread to your army?" So Gideon said, "For this cause, when the Lord has delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars." And he went up from there to Penuel and spoke to them in the same way. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered. So he also spoke to the men of Penuel, saying, "When I come back in peace, I will tear down this tower." Gideon and his men have been up all night in pursuit of the enemy. Brethren, we all need a good night's rest, don't we? But they did not get a good night's rest that night. They have gone to war, and they recognize it'll only end once they take care of the kings of the Midianites. So as the scripture says, they were exhausted. They were pushing against their own body, their own tiredness, and pressed on to finish the fight. In the midst of this, they grew hungry as well. Yet they couldn't get anyone to give them food either. Twice they were turned away by the ones they asked for food. They chose the enemy, the oppressors, over the liberators. You know, it's one thing to be tired, and it's one thing to be hungry, but it's a whole other thing to be tired and hungry. You can only imagine the physical toll being taken on Gideon and his men at this moment. And which is why we can assume Gideon acted the way he did, reacted in the way that he did against these men of these cities. That aside, there are some bad repercussions from being both hungry and tired, and Gideon and his men were feeling it now. If God wasn't on their side at this moment, this hunger and tiredness would serve as a major disadvantage to Gideon and his army. They may have to forfeit. They may have to turn away. They may not be able to finish the fight. But still, the Lord was with them and brought them a second victory against the Midianites in Judges chapter 8, verses 10 through 12. Now Zeba and Zalmunna read Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000, all who were left of all the army of the people of the east. For 120,000 men who drew the sword had fallen. Then Gideon went up by the road of those who dwell in tents on the east of Nobah and Jogbeha, and he attacked the army while the camp felt secure. When Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and routed the whole army. Remember earlier, we saw the Midianite army was as numerous as locusts. But here we get a rough idea as to how large the Midianite army was, saying that 15,000 still stood, and 120,000 men were slain. So we can roughly estimate that at least they started with 135,000 soldiers. At the very least, they started with that many. Yet Gideon and his 300 men, because the Lord was with them, were able to reduce this mighty army to a mere 15,000, less than half of what Gideon's original army was. Now, 15,000 was still much larger than the 300. And even though Gideon had some backup now, Gideon was able to capture the two kings of the Midianites. And in verse 21, he slays them. Gideon arose and killed Zeba and Zalmunna. In verse 21. So God gave the victory, even though all the odds were stacked against him. Even though all the odds were stacked against Israel, God proved his goodness, his glory, his love for Israel, all in this great act. Again, an army of 300 should have no fighting chance against the army that we see the Midianites have. It's just not possible. But God is one who accomplishes the impossible. With God, all things are possible. And so he gave Gideon and his lesser army the victory over the enemy. And after these events, there's a time of peace, recorded in verse 28 of this chapter. Thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. God gave peace through the work that he did through Gideon, a man who in the beginning did not think of himself as one who could be a judge for Israel, not one who could come and deliver Israel, but in the end proved himself to be a mighty judge, full of faith, full of valor. Israel even wanted to make him king after these events, which of course he declined. But the great takeaway from his story is seeing how all the odds are stacked against him. All the odds were stacked against him and his army. Yet, God gave him victory. God was present and gave him victory over the enemies of Israel. Some things to think about. Do you ever feel like the odds are stacked against you in your life? Do you ever look at your life and feel like everything is difficult? Do you feel like everything is working against you? Do you ever feel completely spent because of these things? We have an enemy, brethren. Our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is out there trying to tear us down. He is the Midianite to us. He is every enemy Israel ever had rolled into one. And he is looking for us. And he wants the odds to be stacked against us. He wants us to crack under the pressure. He wants us to lose our faith in God. But look at Gideon's story. Take Gideon's story to heart in your own life. Gideon faced overwhelming odds against a powerful army, against hunger and exhaustion, being turned away by those who should have helped him. And we may think that we're not like Gideon, but remember, he was just a regular guy like us. He was on a farm in the beginning of the story. Even he didn't think much of himself in the beginning. But brethren, we see how he relied on God and how he stayed faithful to God, even when facing all these odds that seemed impossible, impossibly stacked against him. We see how he gained strength through God, through going to God, through him being present in his life. And God caused him to be victorious and overcome and gave peace to him and all of Israel by following God. Let Gideon's story be a source of encouragement in your life. Our limitations do not limit God. When we are weary, we can turn to him for strength. When things are scarce, we can turn to him for provision. When faced with the daunting challenges that life throws at us, that the devil throws at us, let us turn to God, knowing that all things are possible through him, knowing that he gives us the means to overcome these things. And let's put all of our faith in him, all of our confidence in him, and go to him always and for all things, knowing he offers victory and peace in our lives and ultimately in eternity. If you're here tonight and are not yet a Christian, we want to invite you to eternity, an eternity with God and Jesus. If you are here and have heard the word tonight or in the past and have come to believe on these things, we want to encourage you to act upon that belief, to repent of your sins that you've done on this earth, to confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You will be washed free of your sins, free to walk a new life with God, worthy of heaven, worthy of Jesus Christ, worthy of God in your life. A new life is awaiting you. Or if you're here tonight as a Christian, but have let sin in your life, or you've let your faith waver because of the trials of life, make your life right with God again tonight. Repent of these sins. Turn back to God. Confess these things to Him. Find your strength in Him. He will forgive you of these things. He will give you the strength to overcome these things. If you feel the need to confess before your brethren, this is a free space to do that. We will not judge you. We will not shame you. We will pray with you. We'll pray for you. We're all trying to get to heaven together, and we're doing that as a team. Let us all stick together, brethren, every day of our lives. If you're subject to the invitation or need prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand.